The number one marketing strategy you need in today's business climate is networking. Word of mouth and referral marketing is the most powerful way to grow your business. But for many, just the idea of networking causes anxiety, frustration, and perhaps a little fear. The Once Timid Networker radio show will get you through these networking challenges by providing tips, suggestions, and real-life success stories of other business professionals who got out of their own way and learned to love networking. Now, here's your host, the original Once Timid Networker, Tara Schmeichel.
Good day to all of you who are in my network. Thank you for tuning in today and listening to our program. You know, without you, it would just be me talking with a friend and having a nice conversation. But because you joining us, it really makes a difference and we're able to share. So thank you. I appreciate that. The theme for our show today is building the perfect network. And I'm really looking forward to the information that we're going to give you today. The fact that you're listening to the show is, you know, a testament to the networking. If you're a beginner, whether you're timid or not, if you're a seasoned networker, we still learn from the stories that we hear from others and the experiences of those people. And so those of you who know me, you know that I'm very efficient. I love effectiveness. And if it's not those things for me personally, I kind of figure, like, what's the point? Well, today, our show talks, we're going to get into some of that efficiency and that effectiveness, because our businesses are always changing. We're always changing. And so we need to be able to figure out how we can get our network to work for us, but also how we can work for our network. So my guest today is my friend Paula Frazier. I've met her and I've seen her and I've observed her, and she was someone that I really admired from afar for a long time, and the businesswoman that she was, it is. And I was really thrilled to meet her. And since I met her, she's become a mentor to me. She's become a friend through that mentoring. But she has been an inspiration to me. She's come to my rescue a couple of times. And through that, we've just become very good friends. So, Paula, welcome to the Once Timid Networker show today.
Thanks so much for having me.
It is my pleasure. Now, those of you who are listening, you might hear a little squeak in Paula's voice today. You have to know she has got one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard. She's always very clear, and she's got an accent that I just melt over. So this isn't our normal Paula, but she's still here raring to go. So thank you. I hope that you'll be able to get through this all okay, because I'm excited for what you have to share.
They are going to hear a lot of squeak, but Tara, I love every conversation we have, so that they get to listen in today. We're going to have fun.
Well, I think we're going to have fun, too. I know ever since we talked about this months ago, I've just been so excited. So thank you. Paula, can you start by telling me and our listeners a little bit about your business, what you do?
Absolutely. I am honored to be a master trainer for Referral Institute and a franchise owner for BNI. And what that means is my day every day is helping people build their business by developing powerful personal networks that produce high-quality referrals. In other words, I help them surround themselves with the people that they want to build a business through those relationships.
Okay.
It's a good day.
So it's very efficient and very effective. Is that what you're telling me?
It is. I mean, for the most part, through Referral Institute, it's ongoing referral marketing training, consulting, but we back it up with tracking and accountability, which some people try to turn into four-letter words. They're really wonderful words when they produce results.
Yes, I agree. Most definitely. Well, now tell me a little bit about your story. I know that you have come from a long line of entrepreneurs, and tell me how you got to here.
Wow, are you ready for a story? I can tell one.
Okay, I'm all ears. I got my cup of tea sitting here ready.
Wonderful. I am a fourth generation entrepreneur, and until I was 26, we had five generations walking the earth. They worked together. They were husbands and wives working side by side to build family businesses. The really interesting thing was not one generation did what the generation before did. There was always a couple of kids that went with the family business and then one that struck out on their own. That was me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was in human resources for a good long time. And then I followed my husband to the wonderful medium-sized town of Roanoke, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And we knew no one. I was hired to build a business from the ground up. Did I say that I knew no one? I knew no one.
Not one person.
Yeah, and they kind of know each other, love each other, and bequeath business to each other. So it was a little tough. And
yeah.
So I'll be honest, the first year of opening that business, we actually became one of the most profitable branches for that company through cold calls.
Wow.
And I knew my face-to-face cold calls. I wore out some fantastic shoes.
Doggone it.
So,
but good.
So I was doing well. I was doing really well. The business was going along. Then I was introduced to a referral marketing group. I was introduced to BNI. So I became a member over 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Within 6 months of joining BNI, that chapter, that group of people, produced over half of my branch's revenue. So I'll be honest, BNI, referral marketing, it didn't change my bottom line. My bottom line was just fine. It changed the way I hit my bottom line. In a smaller town, I started getting walked past gatekeepers straight to decision makers, and people were open to doing business with me as they never were before.
So now, Paula, just before we go further, I have to ask, because this is the Once Timid Networker show, were you, when you were doing the cold calls, you know, just to go back a little bit, when you were doing the cold calls, were you ever nervous or was that an easy thing for you?
First of all, I got thrown out of some of the best buildings in downtown Roanoke.
Oh.
Because I thought I was smart and I went to the ones that said no solicitors, thinking they weren't picked over, but they meant it. To answer your question, it was demoralizing, it was embarrassing, and when I look back at it, I had to muster up the courage to go and do it. I got good at it for sheer survival purposes, but I'll be honest, I look at it this way now when I look back through my referral marketing eyes.
Yeah.
What do you think about the CPA that cold calls you in your fantastic downtown office? You're thinking, he's hungry, he's struggling. Sure, I'm going to let him handle my money. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Very good point.
It wasn't easy, but I got good at it because it was what was expected of me. And I'll share this if I may. You know, cold calling, if you have lots of time and you're willing to really, really check your ego, you can get some results.
Yeah.
Statistics show you get about a 1% return, and I'll share mine with you quickly. I literally did 60 to 65 face-to-face cold calls every week for almost 10 years. What I knew was, and I knew my numbers because I tracked it. There's one of those words we try to make a bad thing. I knew that if I did that many face-to-face cold calls, I would book 10 appointments, put out 5 proposals, take on about 2 new clients a week. Based on my average contract, those numbers worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the blue moon occurrence. That's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah. Yeah. So you went, okay, so thank you for sharing that, because I think it's important to know that when a person is, you know, telling their story, that story of getting from point A to point B, all those kinds of details, especially the ones for you listeners, you want to know, okay, well, was she nervous about that? Was she excited to do cold calls? I haven't known a whole lot of people who love doing cold calls, but there are a few, and they're good at it, like you were, you know. But at the same time, it's nice to know kind of what was going on behind the scenes as far as your mental state and where you were, and knowing that you had to psych yourself up to do it, and, you know, kind of get in the mood kind of a thing, and that it could have actually, you know, the fact that you said it was demoralizing at times, you know, I mean, we've all had that kind of a feeling before. So I thank you for sharing that, because I do think that, like I said, it's important to know, you know, that how you got from point A to point B. So you joined the BNI chapter, and that helped immensely, and you got going, and it really, you know, improved the way that you did business. Did you continue to do the cold calls?
No, that's a great question. I didn't have time to do any more cold calls, and it kind of freaked me out at first, because it's what I was used to. And I would think, okay, these five people are going to take me and make these five strategic introductions over the next week. I can't make 65. Can I make 50? I mean, I was trying to fit them in out of sheer fear.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, Paula, do you ever get this way? And maybe this is how you were. I know sometimes our worlds start to change, like I had talked about in the intro, and it's hard for us to go, I mean, we keep trying to fit it back into the box that it used to be. And I wrote a blog about it once that, you know, things are changing, and you know, you move forward and you think, you know, if I can just make it to this day, if I can make it to that day, if I, you know, then things will get back to normal. And then you realize you're like, you know, a year ahead, and it's like, okay, this isn't ever going to get back to what used to be normal. This is the new normal. So did you find that was the new normal?
I loved the fact that it became my new normal. And, you know, Paul Harvey's the rest of the story, if you will.
Yes, yes.
The executive director for BNI, for that referral marketing organization, came to me as a member and said, I hear you're creating incredible results. I'd love to talk to you. I'm actually looking at taking on a partner in this BNI business.
Oh.
And so here's the thing. I loved what I was doing in human resources, in staffing. I could have died or retired doing it, but as a fourth-generation entrepreneur, I always knew I would have my own business. I just didn't know what it was, because the one thing I learned from everyone that came before me, the one big lesson, was to find the thing I love and make that my life's work.
Yeah.
And that whole building a network, doing business by relationship, the fact that I knew that it created results, that it helped me take something that was even already successful and maintain that level of success in a much more relational way. When he offered me the opportunity to make my day every day, helping people experience that, just like me, I said yes. I've been in it over 10 years now, and I'll tell you something else. You talk about being timid. I was the girl when I was little that hid behind my mother's skirt. I was painfully shy. And Tara, you've seen me at a conference.
You're not shy.
I was standing in front of 1,000 people, and you can't shut me up now, because I found the thing that I was meant to do. And what I think is really cool is that my generations before me, they were incredibly successful. They leave a lot for me to live up to. Mm-hmm. But now I'm not just doing something that builds my business. I'm doing something that builds hundreds of people's business every year. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something so rewarding about, you know, being able to give back and to be able to give. And I know that, you know, the philosophy of BNI, Business Network International, is giver's gain. And so obviously by giving, you were able to gain. And then now to be able to do it on a regular basis, you know, for the last 10 years or more, is got to be quite rewarding, I'm sure.
Every day is a good day at the office.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing something that I am totally sold out on. I experience the results for myself, and I truly believe I found the thing I was put on this earth to do.
Yeah. Well, and you can see that, Paula, when a person sees you in person, I'm sure any of our listeners who know you or have observed you have seen the same thing. You know, you're a person, like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, you're a person that I watched and thought, that's what I want to be like. And if I can get to that point, you know, then I'll be good. I'll be better, you know. And so as a side note for the listeners, if you are one of the timid people and you are looking to improve the way that you are interacting with others, watch people that you admire and respect, because, you know, observing them, mirroring them, doing those things will help you to become more comfortable with doing it yourself. And in the process of doing that mimicking or mirroring, you're able to find your own way to do it. And then it becomes very natural and very normal. So thanks for being a good example, Paula.
You are so kind. I'm going to tell you, if I'm ever having a bad day, I'm calling you.
Oh, you go right ahead. No problem there. No problem there. I will be, you can have me on speed dial. So then from moving forward, did what happened after that? You joined BNI, you became the, you know, an executive director. How did Referral Institute come into play?
Well, I was very fortunate when BNI founder, Dr. Ivan Meister, he pulled together some people and he said, listen, you know, BNI is a great proven system, a place for people to go every week to engage, you know, a specific group of people, build those relationships, and generate referrals. But there's more. And what he knew 20, 25 years into his referral marketing education, as one of the world's leading experts in referral marketing, he knew that people, it was a statistic that kind of set it off. Something that we learned was that 78% of small business professionals are counting on over 90% of the business to come by referral, and they don't have a plan to make it happen. So he knew BNI supported part of that plan. But what he also knew, because he saw the bigger picture, was that BNI could only offer 1/7 of 1/8 of all the resources that we really need or can count on to get referrals from. So he knew that we needed to provide ongoing training to teach people the full picture everywhere that they can go to support the full referral marketing needs, which absolutely includes BNI. He knew that they also needed some individual consulting. They needed an individual plan based on their revenue needs, their strengths, their weaknesses. And then again, those unfun words, some tracking so they could see what worked, what didn't,
right,
and some accountability, because so many small business professionals, they're entrepreneurs, they're their own boss, and I tell you what, I will let me off the hook every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that because, you know, I know a lot of people who are part of Referral Institute and have been certified by Referral Institute and speak very, very highly of that. And, you know, it's a good program. And those of you who, Dr. Ivan Meisner, who Paula mentioned before, has been a guest on our show before as well. So feel free to listen to his story going back and listening to the archives, because he's got a very interesting story that is, you know, about building BNI, but also some other really good tips in there as well. So feel free to flash back to go to that one. So now, Paula, I'd love to be able to get into some of the meat that we were going to talk about, because we're talking about, you know, like I said before, the theme of our show is building the perfect network. So I guess the first place that we would want to start is where should we go? How do we, you know, what places should we network?
That's a great question. Can we back up one step?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The one thing that I would love to share, 4 main things you need to do to build the ultimate network. Mm-hmm. The first thing you need to do is you need to build your network. You got to build it, meaning you need to identify the people that you want to do business with and bring them in close to you. The next thing you need to do is you'll need to educate those people. And Tara and I are going to talk about those things in just a few minutes. Next, you're going to want to motivate them. Then you'll be in a position to activate them. So, you know, first again, get into relationship. Begin to educate them with regard to who you are and what you do. Do a few things to relationally engage them. Inspire them to actively listen on your behalf while they're out there networking. Because my big thing here, Tara, and again, I want to make sure I answer your question.
Yeah, no, that's okay. This is important.
We go out and we network, and that's a good thing. We need to meet new people. We could be meeting prospects. They could be potential referral sources or referral partners, or they may need to be introduced to somebody else in our network. We may not need them, but our network needs them.
Yeah.
But we're out there. We're shaking hands. We're kissing babies. You know, we're meeting these people.
Yeah, yeah.
But we need to keep in mind that when we're building this network, when we're going to these places that we're about to talk about, it's not just to serve ourselves.
Yeah.
It's to serve the other people in our network. And that's an important point that I like to make when we talk about where we're going.
I think that that is vital, because I have to say that in every episode that I've had of the Winstemann Networker radio show, and probably most of the blog posts as well, that's what it all comes back to, is thinking of the other person first. And, you know, BNI's philosophy is givers gain. Bob Berg wrote a book, The Go-Giver. This giving is something that has been something that has flown through history. You know, I mean, it's something that is there to stay, you know. And when we take, you know, when we are giving, it always comes back. We reap what we sow. What goes around comes around. It always comes back. So that, I appreciate you bringing that up again, because it is a common thread through all of our shows.
May I say something while we're on the subject of giving?
Yeah.
And I'm going to
say,
we're
just having a conversation. We can say whatever we want.
I love it. Except we're on the radio. We're going to keep that in mind.
Yes. Yes, yes.
So the thing is this, that, you know, we talk about giving, and giving is so important, especially in developing referral relationships. For example, you know, Bob Berg, his book is fantastic. If you've not read The Go-Giver, go get it. It's a great, easy read. Very memorable. It'll stick with you. BNI's motto, givers gain. Now, these are my words. They're not Eisen's words. So I'll take blame for them. It doesn't mean give till you go broke.
Yeah.
It means give in an effort to develop true reciprocal relationships, relationships that have give and take, which is why that whole tracking thing becomes so important.
That's really a good point, Paula, because it's not about just giving your money and giving your time. You know, there's a whole lot more involved in giving. So, and I love the idea of tracking it once again. Excellent.
Well, yeah, because you hear people say, especially you run in folks, you know, I took them out to lunch and I brought some donuts to their office. And I, you know, basically they proceed to say, I tried to buy their love.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes if you'll commit to tracking the things you're doing and those giving efforts aren't working, try giving something different. You may get a different result.
Mm-hmm.
But coming back to your question, the places to go, there are three main places that we recommend through Referral Institute to go to build your network. The first is what we call a hard contact network. And that is a referral group, much like BNI is the one that I recommend, in that you go there, you don't have your competition, and you are the go-to in your industry with regard to your products and your services. So it's where you can go to develop referral relationships in a nice, structured, proven setting. So one place is a referral group. Second place is what we call a soft contact network. The Chamber, we love the Chamber. They do a fantastic job of bringing small business professionals together in one place. So if you take your referral marketing education, you walk into the Chamber with purpose, you will start producing some results for you, your business, and the people in your network. So soft contact, Chamber, it's a diverse It's a diverse group of people.
Okay. All right.
You may find your competition. So you can commiserate with them. You can share stories. They feel your pain. You feel theirs. But you're going to run into a whole lot of other people. Again, a great way to build your network. Here's the caveat to going to either a hard contact or a soft contact network. It's not just about the membership. It's about being an active member and participating at a high level to gain credibility.
That's so important. Yeah, that's so important because I know as a member of BNI, you know, sometimes you see people come in, stay for a little while, and leave. And I'm not talking about just during the meeting. They come in, stay for a little while, meaning a couple of weeks or a couple of months, maybe only a year. You know, sometimes some people are a little bit more challenging to be able to give referrals to because of, you know, it takes a little bit longer to get to trust for them and that type of business. But yeah, definitely that active participation is very key to get to trust. So I appreciate that you're saying that too.
The third place that we encourage you to go, and I'll share this from if it's a personal comment. I firmly believe it's a personal opinion that you have a responsibility when you create success in your business to responsibly give back to the community that you're doing business in. So the third place I encourage you to go is a community service organization. Kiwanis, Rotary, Lion, all kinds of places to go and give back. I'm not saying give away for free your products and services through your volunteering, but I'm encouraging you that, for example, if a home builder participates in Habitat for Humanity, to go 3-4 hours a month, swing a hammer, do what you do best.
Yeah.
Great way to earn credibility and give to the community all at the same time. That's what I call reciprocal.
Definitely. I love that. And, you know, it's true. When you see people, and we all know them, we see people that are in all of these things, you know, and you can tell that they're being strategic. It's not like they're just flitting around, you know, I'm going to join this and I'm going to join that. They're strategic. You know, you see them in the community and you can tell that they do have credibility. They are people that are looked to. And because of that, they're trusted. And so that's great. I love that they're, you know, you've broken it down very easily here. So once we go to those networking groups and we start meeting people, then what do we do?
Wow. Actually, this is a conversation that I love to have, and it has to do with behavioral styles, something that we really focus on in Referral Institute. Tara, have you experienced the behavioral styles workshop?
Yes, I have. And we've had some conversations about those as well.
Tell me what your big takeaway from that was with regard to networking and going into rooms like the ones we're talking about or networking environments.
Well, it changed the way that I look at people. I mean, it also took away my timidness to a degree because I looked at people and I found out, I could tell, you know, they're doing that because that's just the way that they are. Not like, oh, that's just the way that I am and I can't change. But that style, the way that they acted, you know, if they were short with me and didn't, you know, elaborate or didn't seem interested, I could tell what type of, you know, their personality style. I didn't get hurt feelings from it. I guess there's the short version of it. Other people who got a little bit more lengthy in their conversation, I wasn't annoyed by it. I was actually understanding that that's just the way that they communicate. And so it was easier for me to be able to communicate with people and going ahead with that mirroring again to be able to draw them out and be able to have a relationship with them instead of going, oh, they're too much work or, oh, they're too boring or, you know, whatever, to put it bluntly. It changed the way that I looked at people and the way that they acted for sure.
And, you know, the thing is you have that level of awareness. So many people don't. So coming back to your question, you know, what do we do when we walk into those networking environments? The best piece of advice I can give around this is make sure that your intent to network is supported by your behavior when you walk in that room. We go into these places, we intend to network. Instead, we net sit, we net talk, we net chat, we net eat the shrimp, and we net nothing for our business.
Yeah.
And then we walk out of there, and what we say, Tar?
Oh, that was a waste of time. I didn't meet anybody.
That doesn't work, seriously.
No,
you didn't work. Here's what it looks like, left to its own devices. You walk into a networking environment based on behavioral styles. Here are the things you're going to see. You're going to see some people standing around talking to two or three people that they already know the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
How referable is that?
Well, yeah.
You're going to see some people standing there, arms crossed, waiting for people to do what, Tara?
Well, to come and talk to them.
Well, sure. They're the important people.
Yeah.
But then, now, here are the ones you can pick out real easily. They're running around, tail feathers on fire, hugging, kissing, and flopping sugar.
Yeah.
Now, it's okay if you like to be loved. There are some people, though, that don't want to be touched by people they don't know.
Yeah.
How referable is that? And then, I love these. These are actually the easiest to spot. The little soldiers that are lined around the perimeter of the room holding up the wall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So how referable is that?
Right.
And so, again, so when you walk into these rooms, you know who you are. You know if you're standing there waiting for people to come to you. You know if you're holding up the wall. You've got to get over yourself, kind of like I did with my cold calls.
Yeah.
Get in there and network, because that's what you intended to do when you walked in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. So we network, we get to know those people, and we figure out, you know, how to do that. How do we start building our network from that? You know, how do we find the perfect network? I mean, obviously we have to pick somebody out, you know, that we're going to work with. How do we know how to do that? Do you know what I'm saying? Am I being that clear?
You've gone to this networking event. You've met some people. Now what? Was that the question?
Yeah, that was said very nicely.
Okay. One thing. In that conversation, do one of two things. If you think this is somebody that you'd like to get to know more about, say it to them. Call, you know, there needs to be a call to action. Listen, Tara, I enjoyed meeting you tonight. I actually have a goal to meet a few more people that I haven't met before, but I would love to learn more about you and your business. I'm in my office Friday. Can I shoot you an email and see if we can coordinate time to get together for coffee, like, see how I can help you?
And that's so easy, even from a timid person. And those of you who are timid and listening, sometimes when you're nervous and you're getting in your own way, to have a script like that makes it so much easier to be able to approach somebody or to carry on further. When you already have the script, you know what to say, you can practice it, whatever. But Paula has just given us a lovely script and something that it would make anybody feel good. You know, I'd like to carry on the conversation further. I'd like to talk with you later. Let's get together. You know, I mean, that's not going to make anybody feel bad. So I thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that.
You are welcome. Now, that script is in Chapter 12 of Building the Ultimate Network, Step by Step.
Chapter 12 of Building. Now, is that a book that you've participated in, Paula?
It is.
I knew that. And where can a person get that book, Building the Perfect Network?
Actually, you have me to share my contact info. If they'll just contact me,
okay,
Paula, P-A-U-L-A, at referralinstitute-va.com, we will take care of you.
Okay, and that's V-A as in Victor, right?
V-A as in Virginia.
Oh, as in Virginia. See, you said it so nicely. And we'll get that information again at the end of the show. So, and that is a book, highly recommended. Definitely check it out. It's a beautiful book. But it's got some great, great information. And if you are serious about building a perfect network, contact Paula as soon as you can and have that on your shelf that you refer to often. Perfect.
Thank you, Tara. And I'm not the only contributor in that book, so you're going to get some great ideas from some powerhouses in networking.
Yeah. And some of those have been or will be guests on this show as well. So most definitely check it out. Great book.
Coming back to that script, one thing, if you say what I just encouraged you to say, you need to mean it and then you need to do it.
Yeah.
Studies show that only 2% of us follow up and follow through. So you want to step out ahead of you. I'm sorry.
I'm just shocked at 2%.
It is. They say it. You know them.
Yeah. them. Yes,
so
I know them.
You want to separate yourself from your competition? Here's a clue. Just do what you said you were going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Here's the other thing. If you don't mean it, because we've all been hostage in a conversation at an event.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. Say it.
Yeah.
Tara,
yeah.
It's been great meeting you today. I actually have a goal to meet 5 new people here. Matter of fact, is there somebody that you know that you'd be willing to introduce me to? I would appreciate it.
Oh, I love that. And that's from a timid person to a seasoned person. What a great way to end a conversation and be introduced into a new one. That's fantastic. Fantastic.
They walk you over. They probably wanted to get rid of you as much as you wanted to get rid of them. You shake their hand, you thank them, and they go. So, again, if you say it, do it. And if you don't mean it, don't say it.
I love it. So now I want to change gears a little bit, but it's still in line with what we're talking about. So we've selected the people that we want to be working with. What do they need to know about us?
Oh, I love it. You're talking about the educate part.
Yes.
Here's the thing. You can have, it's like one of those cell phone commercials. You can have all these people who know you, love you, trust you, standing all around you. You've got to make sure that you empower them with a few things so that they can successfully and strategically introduce you to the people that you want to know. One thing that I found incredibly helpful, Tara, is, and I help statement, not something we can get into deep today.
Okay.
But certainly something that
we can have another show about that.
Yay. let me give you a quick example of an I help statement, and it proved my point beautifully. I am not technologically savvy, but I refer all day long to my computer girl because she taught me her benefit statement, her I help statement. And here's what it is. She helps people take the technology they have and makes it work for them. As a matter of fact, she doesn't sell equipment, so it's in her best interest to keep yours running.
Excellent.
Here's how I apply that, because that sounds beautiful, great, Paula. Yeah, but it's music and dance to it. I'm in a chamber event or at a B&I meeting or at my Rotary Club, and somebody always says, "My computer hates me," or
mm-hmm.
some version of that.
Yes.
Here's what I said. And I don't count. First I say, listen, I know how that feels. My computer hates my face every day.
Yeah.
if it'll help, I would love to introduce you to my computer girl. She helps you take the technology you have and makes it work for you. Matter of fact, she doesn't sell computers, so it's in her best interest to keep yours running.
Nice.
Every time, do you know what they say? Give me your number.
I love it. I love
it. So the first tool, the first bit of education is a benefit statement in the form of an I help.
I like it. I like that.
The second thing, and you asked me earlier, Tara, you need to know your story.
Mm-hmm.
Because your competition is out there, and they're saying, you know, I'm bigger, I'm better, I'm stronger, I'm faster. I slice, I dice, I julienne,
yeah.
fry. You're saying it all.
Yeah.
And if you're saying the same stuff, you're not setting yourself apart. if I talk to three people who do what you do, and you all tell me the same bionic story,
yeah,
I just have no clue. But the one of you that tells me your version of, I am a fourth generation entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I learn lessons from them.
Yeah.
So my day every day now is, you know, when you have your story, mm-hmm. that may be the only thing that separates from you, you from your competition.
Yeah.
And that when I am standing in the middle of a referral for you and I can tell your story, then I'm tooting your horn, I'm separating you from your competition, and I'm telling this person that's asking me for help, I hear you have a need, here's who I recommend. And mm-hmm. of all the people who does what she does, here's why you want to work with her. It breaks down the barriers. It makes people want to meet you.
Fantastic. I love that. And I love the idea of breaking down the barriers. It is important to have a unique story, definitely. Thank you. So we've built our network, we've educated them to, you know, how do we motivate them then?
Good question. You know, we always say, you know, should we be talking business? Should we be talking personal? What I say, business or personal, as long as it's purposeful.
Oh, nice.
And here's why you need to fit some of the social, some of the personal in there, because that's where you're going to find their motivators. Do you mind if I share my personal
yeah.
motivators, Tara?
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Please.
It tends to get me the things that I ask for.
Yeah, no, please.
I was a child of the 80s. Two things I loved. Two things I loved, aside from big hair.
Well, yeah, hairspray's got to be in there.
I know.
Me too.
Ballet and Bon Jovi.
Oh, see, and they go hand in hand.
They do, right. I still love those things. But here's my quick example. Back in the day, there was a teenager that was bound and determined to make sure I got those two things. And so on the other side of it, what I learned was he took a day off from work. He drug his coworker with him because they worked in a team. They drove 3 hours to get some tickets to see Mikhail Baryshnikov dance Swan Lake for me.
Yeah.
I didn't hear all of that until the other side. Matter of fact, until years later. But here's what I know. This sweet young man had great feet, took me to the ballet, and then, if that wasn't enough, a few weeks later, he had me front row center for a Bon Jovi concert, John Bon Jovi singing Living on a Prayer, took yes. his hat off his head and tossed it straight to us. I still have the hat. Aww. It is my son's. He has laid claim to that. My
yeah.
point with that is this teenager knew enough at a young age to figure out what motivated me. We won't talk about what he was trying to motivate me to do.
No, this is radio, and it's full, and we're live.
And I have kids.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
But he knew enough to figure out what motivated me, sincerely give them to me. And I've got to guess. Think about it. He did. It cost him time,
yeah.
money, pain, suffering. I mean, think about telling your friend you're going to the ballet.
Yeah.
And he went through all of that to get me what motivated me.
Yeah.
Yet we grow up, we get in business, and we forget all of that.
Yeah.
And instead, we get busy giving people what we think they want. So here we go to the extreme. I do a lot of these speaking engagements. I told you, now you can't shut me up. You spend me to talk. People actually give me these wonderful baskets and gifts. Almost every time, there's chocolate in a basket. Guess what I don't like more than anything on the earth?
Is it chocolate?
Chocolate. I know.
I believe that you and I are kindred in that way, because I think we've had this conversation and we decided that if we had chocolate, we would give it to one of our other friends. So, yeah, I'm with you.
We don't like shopping either. We are out of the girls' club.
We're out of the girls' club. No shopping, no chocolate. But we both like shoes.
Yes. So here's my point. These grown-up business professionals spend hundreds of dollars on these gifts, and they give me something that I actually don't care for. Now, does that demotivate me? No.
No.
But let me tell you what. The people that find out that I love red wine, Odessa red wine, and they have it sent to my door with a big thank you. I had somebody that I mentored send me that as a surprise one time. I came back and said, can I mentor you again this year? It motivated me.
Yeah.
So you got to find the thing that they love. Matter of fact, it comes down to this when it comes to motivation. I don't fool with the golden rule. Pastor Art told me not to, do unto others.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage people to employ Tony Alessandra's platinum rule. Treat others the way they prefer to be treated. You're going to start to see some incredible things from your network.
Yeah, that is. I like that, too, because it does show a depth of intent as well. When you're finding out, as adults, as business owners, as colleagues, when we take the time to find out what motivates somebody like you're talking about here, it shows a depth of appreciation for that person. It's not just the standard, like you said, chocolate and flowers or whatever. Not that those things aren't nice or thoughtful, but there's a different level. And so there is that motivation behind. I love this idea. Thank you. So because of our timing here, I want to get to activate, because that's the next part of your process here that we talked about at the beginning. Build, educate, motivate, and then activate. What do we do to activate?
This is where you test your network. It's really where you test your relationship. So it can be very scary and incredibly revealing, because this is where you ask them. You ask them for referrals. You ask them for support. You may ask them for information. Do you think you're going to get told yes every time?
Yeah, probably not.
No. And it's not good or bad. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It simply means that you've not done enough to earn the right to ask.
Interesting.
It could also mean some other things. You shared those four stages when you're talking about these things. Maybe in building your network, you've included someone that may not be a good fit as a referral source. Or maybe in educating them, you've not empowered them with words that they're comfortable sharing. Or maybe when it comes to motivating them, you've not found their ballet in Bon Jovi, and you keep shoving chocolate down their throat.
Interesting. Interesting point. I'm just taking notes while you're saying these things because, it's you can have people that are with you and they like you and they trust you, but if you're not hitting that, just like you said, you may not be getting the results that you're looking for because they're not activated. So, interesting. So if we have given them all the information and we ask, is there any other tips before we move on about asking?
Not so much about asking, but there's one thing, and this just popped into my head, it'll take just a minute, that I learned at the knee directly from Jack Canfield, the Chicken Soup for the Soul guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been incredibly helpful for me and my clients when it comes to this building aspect, because that's almost the hardest part. If you don't have the right people, all the rest is for nothing.
Yeah.
He looked at me and pointed his finger and wagged it, rightfully so. He said, Paula, you are the average of the five people that you spend the most of your time with. He meant, in life, I had my referral marketing ears on. And so the thing that I encourage you to do, go look at your last quarter, at your last 12 weeks. Who are the actual five people that you gave the most of your golden time to, the time when you should have been building your business? Pets count, spouses count, people that email you to death count, people that text you to death count. Who are the actual five people? And then, are they the five people that you've identified as your top referral relationship, Tara, here's what I'm going to tell you. By and large, almost everybody, and I've done this in front of hundreds of people at a time, look at me, shake their head, and they go, no, they're the wrong people. It's not that they're wrong people. It's that they're not the right people to support us in our referral marketing effort, in our network.
Interesting. And so true. That five, I call it the rule of five. That rule of five has been something that I've, reevaluated over and over and over again. But I really like the way that you have said that about, including texting, emailing, all of that. I hadn't thought of, and you are spot on with that. And it's definitely an important part of building that network. Very interesting. I hope that you as listeners have walked away with some really good nuggets. I know I personally have. I always do whenever I sit and talk with Paula, but these have been some really good nuggets to walk away with. Paula, one of the things that we always ask is on the show is if there was one thing that our listeners could do to make a difference in their networking, just one takeaway from today, what would that be?
That's a good question. Wow. You're full of good questions, Tara.
Thank you.
How about this? I'm going to give you an X factor. There are lots of X factors in your referability. Mm-hmm. Here's like my number one X factor, the number one thing to do. Invest in your personal and business development. And here's why. It's easy for me to say, trust me, I'm good at what I do. I know what I'm doing. It's even easy, Tara, for you to say, Paula's great at what she does. Trust her. Mm-hmm. It's another to do something like we're doing today, this radio show. Again, I hid behind my mama's skirt. I'm putting myself out here on live radio. It's another for me to have the depth of knowledge because I've invested in my personal and business development so that I can demonstrate that I actually know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, so that's invest in your business and personal development so that you can demonstrate your depth of knowledge.
I love it. And a person can do that with, reading books or webinars or audiobooks or seminars or, Referral Institute. Definitely something that is going to be an investment in your business development. So thank you. I appreciate that. I was just sitting here thinking I should make a list of all of these one things and put a blog together about that because that would be a great list of great ideas. Paula, what's a good referral for you? This is a networking show, and I, of course, would like to know how I can help you.
Thank you. When I am in full voice, I really appreciate speaking engagements. Speaking engagements in front of groups of business professionals, preferably 300 or more, and these people are counting on referrals. They need to build a network, and they're open to learning more about a methodical way of doing it. Because my big thing is, I hear all the time, you probably do too, Tara, I'm a natural networker. Well, that's fine. You can be a people person. You can be a natural networker. But what we know is that there's a science to purposely producing qualified referrals and building a network. And it's that science that I teach. It's that science that I love to share. So that would be my perfect referral. Maybe industry conferences.
Okay. Fantastic. And for those of you listening, I mean, you've heard Paula talk today, and so you can see the depth of knowledge that she has. But I've listened to her and been instructed by her as well. And she is very engaging and definitely walks the talk, and you're never going to walk away bored. She's got some great information. And so if you are looking for a speaker, Paula would be the person to call. And if a person was going to get in touch with you, how might they want to do that?
Thank you. I'm going to give a couple of different ways.
Okay.
Email Paula, P-A-U-L-A, at referralinstitute-va.com. my website. My website is referralinstitute-va.com. And otherwise, Tara, I'd love it if they would just connect to me through you.
Okay. Fantastic. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Paula. The time has flown by just like it always does for us. My tea is gone, and I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Not only have I enjoyed it because I knew that I would, but I've really walked away with some nice nuggets, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your day, especially knowing that you're traveling right now. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Tara, it's been an honor, and I look forward to coming back again.
I love it. And so those of you who are listening today, I hope that you've been able to find some benefit and some education as far as building your perfect network. Paula gave us some really good tips about build, educate, motivate, and activate. One of the things that she said that I really liked was business or personal as long as it's purposeful. Definitely something that we want to make sure that we're being purposeful as we're doing our networking, because otherwise it's just kind of a waste of time. There's not a whole lot of benefit that we're going to get from it. And if we're looking at being effective and efficient, that's certainly not going to be the way that we do it. So if we take these steps that Paula has talked about today and created the I help statement and to know our story and help, you know, make it unique, set ourselves apart from the other people that we're, you know, that do what we do, our competition. Find out those motivators definitely is key. And then ask. We have to ask. Thank you so much again for joining us today. You can find the Once to Mid Networker on Facebook. I would love if you would click the like there. You can find our blog on theoncetomidnetworker.com. And you can find our radio show as well as our archives on Next Stage Online Radio. We really appreciate you being here today. As I said before, without you, we're just sitting here having a cup of tea and sharing a conversation. But because of you, it's a show. So thank you. From blossoming in our networking, thank you again. And we look forward to visiting with you another time.
This has been a presentation of Next Stage Online Radio, the internet radio station for Next Stage Media Group. For more information on our business and lifestyle programs, go to nextstagemediagroup.com.